Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to New Hope. How are you? Oh, I'm just so pumped to be with you here today. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm pumped to be next to you today. Your other side neighbor needs some too. Say, I love you too. Oh, well, hey, I'm going to spend the next few moments. Today may be a wonderful, timely, powerful reminder for you. It may be a first-time challenge, but whatever it is, the Bible promises what we're going to discover today and what we're going to go over today, God promises a promise for every single one of us who will receive it. We're going to talk about last words. Would you say with me, last words? Last words. You know, usually last words are often that what we will remember as from a person. Last words, they're usually pretty weighty. They're usually very intentional with much purpose. My daughter Eliana, at the age of 3 years old, truly understands the power of last words. Now, every day when I go out to, head out to work, as I'm on my way out, I say, okay, bye everybody, give everybody hugs and kisses, and I go out the door, it's time for daddy to go to work. And as I go out the front door, my daughter, Ellie, she runs up to me, daddy, daddy, don't go yet, I miss you for you, I wanna play with you. And I said, well, daddy's gotta go to work, and oh, daddy, but I wanna play princesses, and I wanna play tea party, and you have to do my nails and my makeup, you know. Say, oh, you're so cute. I really want to, sweetie, but I have to go to work. And when she doesn't quite feel that I'm biting her bait, then she turns it up a notch. She puts her face up, oh, daddy, but I'm so missing for you. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. Oh, baby, come here. Come here. She knows how to do it, and so finally, I know, okay, daddy's got to go to work, and so I'm headed out. Oh, daddy, wait. Daddy, I have a question for you, okay? I have a question. Okay, what's your question? Daddy, I have a question. So today, are you going to go to work and do all your meetings and your studies and stuff like that? That's my question. Yes, I am, dear. Oh, daddy, you're so awesome. I love my daughter. Yeah, she's just so sweet. But last words can often be powerful, very intentional. My daughter's last words are always very intentional. She knows how to hook her daddy's heart and reel him in. You know, the Lord said it this way. Jesus said that our words will be that which will justify us, or also, our words will be that which will condemn us. See, words can be justified as well as words can be condemned. Full of weight and intention, full of good motive, or it can be unjustified or that which would be condemning. So, I'm totally convinced my daughter's words are so justified because I'm a missable guy and I'm pretty awesome too. Just joking, yeah. No, I'm not, but kind of. Well, last words is often usually pretty powerful. Kind of like the guy that said it this way. He went up to his friends. He said, hey, when you, like at the end of your life, what's your last words going to be? And so this his friend thought and thought. He said, oh, I got a good one. He said, right before I'm going to die, I'm gonna yell out, the gold is buried under the, and then make. He said, then they'll do anything it takes to revive me. Last words. Only now you're getting it. I remember the last words of my Portuguese cousin when he said, hey, watch this. Oh, those Portuguese, they're crazy. Especially those Cordeiros, I tell you. You may never know what your last words will be. We don't know what tomorrow holds, so every words that we say, they should be as intentional as last words. You know, today we're going to zero in on some of Jesus' last words right before he ascended. And this last few weeks, we've been kind of discovering more and more of the life of Christ. And This period of time that we're going to look at is about 40 days after he risen from the grave, 40 days where he appeared to many of his disciples. And we have been studying last few weeks about how he appeared to Peter, Thomas. And today we're going to look at how he appeared to all the disciples. And we have to be reminded of this, that the disciples were walking with Christ about 3.5 years up until this point. So basically, you know, you think about 3.5 years, they're kind of like new Christians. And so Jesus has appeared to some of them and they're waiting. They're up in the upper room. They're waiting. They're praying. It's like they're waiting for their next steps, their assignment. God, we love you. We believe in you. But now what? He said, wait for me and I will arrive. So what we're going to do is we're going to receive as not necessarily pastors or theologians or philosophers, because the early disciples, they weren't really that at all. They were just people who said, Lord, I will follow you. And Jesus shows up and gives them last words before his ascension. So truly, it's an assignment to all of the church or those who would say, Lord, I'm here to follow you. And what we're going to find is not just some action points, but we're going to find that when we say, Lord, I'll follow you, and I'll take these last words to heart, what we're going to find is action points, but also promise, where it's not going to be our own authority that we walk in, but it will be from the power of heaven itself. And it is like God is saying, if you grab a hold of this assignment and live it out with all your heart, I will be with you. I will never leave you, and you will succeed. How many of you want to succeed in the things of God? Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I do. That's right. We all do. Well, let's read at the top of our notes in Matthew 28. We know it as the Great Commission. Let's read it together and receive from the Lord his promise he wants to give to every single one of us today. Let's read. Ready, get set, go. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's say that part again. Surely, ready, go. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Sometimes. No, he says, always to the end of the age. How many of you are so grateful that God is with us always to the end of the age? Oh, Lord, thank you. See, anyone who chooses to follow the Lord, the Bible says that it is not in our own authority or power, our own strength, but we walk in a strength that is so much greater than ours. And God says, when we truly do that and understand how to do that, it would be something that would be transformative in our lives. It's not where we just kind of sit back and we kind of think about God's ways or pray about it, but it's actually we live it out, and God's power and promise is real in your life and my life. That's what he's saying. Let me talk to you, share with you in kind of this word picture about authority. When my wife, I first met her, she was a junior high teacher, and as she was a teacher at Moanalua Middle School, they would have these like break periods for about 15 minutes. And as the break period was ending, she had a student in her class, but all the rest of the kids were outside. They're kind of talking, holo holo, you know, hanging out. So she turned to this young man, we'll just call him Brother Billy. She said, Brother Billy, hey, the period is done. Would you go out and tell your friends, come in? And so Brother Billy, he kind of walks out here, goes out the door, looks at all his friends, and he says, hey, everybody, because he never got through puberty yet. Hey, everybody, the break is power. We got to come in. So he comes in, and to his dismay, none of the kids follow Brother Billy, and he's all bummed out. This is a true story now, true story. So he goes again. And he goes out here and says, hey, everybody, the break is pow. You got to come in. And so he walks in, and to his dismay, a second time, none of the kids followed him in. And so he turns to my wife and he says, Miss, Mrs. Cordero, they're not listening to me. So she says, well, tell them this. Go out there and say, Mrs. Cordero said that the break is done and you got to come in right now. Okay. Everybody, Mrs. Cordero said the break is power. You got to come in right now. Lo and behold, the whole class follows Brother Billy into the class. Now, Billy was successful not because he went on his own authority or his own power, but he was successful because he walked in a power greater than his, an authority much higher than his, Mrs. Cordero. That's why when my wife says, hon, take out the trash. Yes, dear. Oh, power, you know. Woo! Big time. Is my wife here? Did she hear that? Okay, no. You see, this is what the Bible promises. When we walk in not our own power or authority, there is something much greater than us, and we're tapping into a power that's not our own because ours runs out after a while. It does. We're human. We're fleshly. But God's never, ever runs out. And that's what God is promising all of us who say, yes, Lord, I receive this assignment. I am a part of your greater purpose here on earth, and I am a part of something greater than me that is something of heaven. And so his last words are given to all who would follow, packed with full of authority, full of power, full of promise. And today, that might be a powerful reminder to us, a timely reminder, or it may be a first-time challenge if you've never received this assignment and say, Lord, that's me, that's what I want. And so it may be one of those, but today let's receive our Lord's last words today that comes fully promised, fully ready to succeed in our assignment that he's given to us. So the active points, firstly, let's take a look at what is God asking us really to do as we walk in his authority. The first one, would you write in number one, would you write in go? Turn to your neighbor and say, go. Not right now, because we still get church, but go. The first thing is go. He says, go make disciples. Well, who? Where? When? And if you remember with me, the disciples, they were praying. They were waiting. They were contemplating. They were processing deeply in the presence of one another. And as they were doing this, Jesus steps into their life and he says, your heart is good. Your heart's in the right place. Now, let me give you an assignment. But in order to really understand and receive my power, you have to go. So I think what Jesus is saying here is this. In order to fully receive the power of God that is available to you and me, it's not necessarily a who or a destination or when, but is it, do we have the willingness to go? See, when God steps into our life and he says, Aaron, go and make it right with your wife. Aaron, what you said was not right. Go resolve that. Do you have a propensity to act and make that right? When God speaks, am I the first one to stand in line and say, Lord, here I am. I will act on what you say. I think that's what God is saying. See, when we develop like a position of life, where it's not like we kind of have to contemplate or we pray really hard about it, but it's like, Lord, when you speak, here I am, I'm ready to go. Here at New Hope, we call it this. We call it having a bias for action. It's kind of a marketplace term, but a bias for action. You know, it's like, you know, what do we got to do? Let's go. You know, we have to set up stuff or clean up stuff or what do we do? Hey, I'm ready. I'll jump in. You know, don't you love the heart of New Hope where everybody's just so ready to just jump in? Isn't that so cool that you guys are like that? Aren't you? Yeah? Everybody nod your head. Awesome, man. This is such a cool church. No, but it's so true where we won't experience the power of God until we really say, Lord, here I am. I will be someone that will go. What are you saying? What are you saying about my future, my family, this church, this community? Lord, I will be one that will go. As I study successful people, and this would be more in the marketplace, I think they really took these principles, these biblical principles, and they've been successful with it. One man, his name is Herb Kelleher, CEO of Southwest Airlines. He says this, that we have a very strategic plan. And here it is, very simple. It's called doing things. The placard read this: blame no one, expect nothing, and do something. This is a locker room sign posted by NFL football coach Bill Parcells. Blame no one, expect nothing, and do something. I thought that was pretty cool. Wayne Gretzky said it this way, one of the leading scorers in hockey: you miss, absolutely miss 100% of the shots that you never take. Having a bias for action, I think this is what Jesus is giving us. He's giving us something of how is your faith. If there was like a dial in our soul of like, you know, having an active faith or a bias for action or like here I am, where would that dial point? Would it point like kind of like non-existent down here? Or Lord, I need a little bit more information before I go. Or Lord, when you speak, here I am, I'm ready to go. Just tell me what to do and I'll do that. I'll be there. And I wonder if the Lord could reach into our hearts today and he kind of just crank up that dial a little bit, and maybe our dial is down here and we say, Lord, I really need your power in my life. I need you to be real in my life. You know, the miracles that we talk about, Lord, I want that to be a reality in my life. Reach into my heart and Lord, dial that, crank that baby all the way up. So when you speak, I say, yes, here I am. Don't we want to be a church like that where we say, Lord, when you speak, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm waiting. Then the Lord says, he will be with you always. There's a success that will come when our strategic plan is yes. James says it this way in James 2:17. Let's see what it says together. Ready, get set, go. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. See, we can have a lot of faith, but if there's no works, James says, then it really is a faith that's dead. And it won't ever have power. There won't ever be traction. I wonder if we have a faith like this, where there's not really a works or active part of it, I wonder if that's why we can kind of develop a society that, and even church culture, that would kind of pray like this: oh God, I pray that you would change all the problem people in my life because I really don't like the problem people in my life. Change them and all the problems that I got, change that out there. You know, you ever find yourself praying those prayers? How many of you got problem people in your life? How many of you got one? No, I shouldn't say right next to you. That would be really bad. But I wonder if the real problem might be this, where maybe it would be praying a prayer that God would change the inside here, because maybe there's a lack of courage to go and resolve the problem that we have out there. And maybe it's because we're too embarrassed or too ashamed or a little insecure, a little fearful, or a little angry, or whatever it might be. But, you know, when Jesus says, go therefore, go and make disciples, what he's saying is, are you willing to go when I speak? What if I say, Aaron, you know, I found myself sitting on my couch a year ago, and I was really wrestling through something. It was probably one of the most tense marital seasons in my life. Any of you go through tense marital seasons? Nah, you guys don't. You guys go to New Hope. It was a tense marital season. I'm wrestling. And it was one of those seasons where my wife and I, we were just busy, and there's a lack of communication. It felt like I was on one mountain and she was on the other, and it was like, hey, maybe one day soon we'll connect, you know? And it just got like worse and worse, to the point where there's like no communication, and like day after day, and it's like, oh, this is horrible. And then it's like, you know, you start to assume things, you know, and so you walk in the house and your wife comes in, and, you know, the glare from the sun hits her eyes, so she kind of does one of these things, you know, and you look at her, oh, what, you're giving me stink eye now, and what's going on, you know. It's like it just gets worse and worse, and finally I find myself on the couch just like, oh, praying, and I'm just like grieving. It's like, Lord, we got to change something here, you know, change my wife's heart because it's probably her fault, you know. And I think we can all be there. And I just heard the Lord, I'll never forget this. He said, Aaron, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? And he reminded me of Ephesians 5, where it speaks of this. I heard it on my wedding day. It says this, husbands, are you willing to love your wife like Christ loved the church, where he gave himself up for her, where he washed her with his word that she would be presented before him as something of spotless and blameless? Are you willing to take the word of God, my words and promises, and live those out that your wife would be blameless and spotless and cleansed and pure? I was thinking, you know, the church is not a building, but the church is people. Christ gave his life for people. And he's saying, Aaron, as the head of the home, as a leader, are you willing to hang on to a promise, to take the first step of leadership and say, even if you have to lay down your rights or lay down your life, are you willing to go? Oh, Lord, but it's probably her fault. But I remember that so clearly, and I just turned back to my wife, said, honey, we got to change something. Something's not right. Hey, just come over here. Let's just work this out. We can't do this anymore. And, you know, for 2 hours, it was messy. It was raw. It was uncomfortable. It was awkward. But you know what? I look back, it was courageous. And the Lord took that moment and he brought us closer than ever before. My wife called me last week and said, honey, remember what happened last year? You better date me plenty, you know? And it's just like we can look back and kind of laugh about it. But we're so much stronger today because I barely had the faith and courage to say, Lord, okay, break through my life, my insecurities, the guilt that I'm wrestling through, the embarrassment, break through that, Lord, so that I could break through and make it right and resolve this with my wife. He said, thank you, Aaron, for holding up the relationship with your wife much higher than a circumstance and problem that was so small. I think, wow. You know, the promises of God are powerful. It'll save lives, it'll save marriages, save relationships, save your future. And when we're willing to say, Lord, here I am, I will go, you watch, you wait, you see what God can do in your life, he'll change your world. And together, we and Jesus will be able to change our world. Well, the second thing that Jesus states here in his last words to us would be this. Would you write in the next bullet there, number 2, make disciples. Make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe my commands. Now, as I read this, I thought, you know, God, it's kind of a tall order to make disciples of, like, all nations, you know. I think it's fabulous that we get to be a part of a wonderful church that has such a global reach. And the only way that that is possible is because this church here is healthy and doing good. And we say, Lord, we're not perfect, but we set our hearts on you and we're becoming perfected because, Lord, you're good and we're not. But the only way that there's such a global reach is because we have a heart to say, Lord, whatever that looks like, our answer is yes. But to make disciples of all nations is quite a tall order. Let me give a challenge that's very practical, very close to home. And it's going to be a challenge to mothers and fathers and grandparents, just for a moment here. How many mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas do we have here? God bless you. Anyone that's raising your hand, if you're not raising your hand, could you give them a big hug right now and just say, the Lord is with you, because we need it. Yeah, let me challenge us something very practical. See, the Bible says, make disciples of all nations. I thought there was a very poignant truth that Barbara Bush said once. She said it this way, the health of our nation does not depend on what happens in the White House, but what happens in your house. And I think what she was getting at was this. however healthy and strong our homes are, will be as healthy as our government will be, our states will be, this church will be. But it all depends really of what is happening in our homes. So I think the Lord would be saying, not just are we willing to go, but are we willing to start, not way out there somewhere, because if we can't even do it in our own homes, how can we do it way out there? So I think what the Lord is saying is, are we willing to go and start right here at home? In fact, Deuteronomy 6 lays this out real clear. Super promise. In fact, God even puts it into the form of a command, which means listen up. Let's read together. Ready, get set, go. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. See, the Bible says, today, these things shall be on your heart. The scripture says whatever is in our heart is what we will do or behave or act out. That means whatever is in our heart is going to be who we are, our DNA. It's not an option or a style. It is who we are. So the Bible is saying here, may this be who we are, that we shall teach diligently our children the ways of God, that we'll talk about them when we sit for dinner or breakfast or lunch. When you walk by the way, or when you're walking with your kids or your family and you see a controversial fight, you know, in the street, and your kids say, "Dad, what's happening?" And you speak to them of the ways of God, about how relationships are so precious to the Lord and how we need to resolve problems rather than conflict with one another. Saying, by the way, and when you lie down, when you go to bed, or when you rise up, what are we thinking about? What's the atmosphere in our homes? Are we taking the action? Do we have a bias for action to remove any spiritual hazards and set up a spiritual atmosphere starting in the home? The Bible says when we have a heart to do that, there's going to be a power that won't be of yours, but it'll be of His. It'll change and transform your life forever. There'll be a health, a stability that like nothing else that you've ever experienced. It'll be divine and from heaven, and it'll be powerful. Do we have a heart to remove all spiritual hazards? You know, I'm thinking about, we have such a heart to do this physically, don't we, when our kids are first born? You remember that when your first kid was born? You go to Long's Drugs. You go in the baby section, you buy every single thing that is like a child-proof kind of device, right? And then you go and you lock everything, the cupboards, the pantries, even the toilets, the sinks, I mean everything. But then the tough thing is when you got to use the bathroom like super bad, you come into the restroom and then your toilet's locked like Fort Knox. It's like, you know, you got to become the Hulk to rip that thing off. You know, we go crazy over removing any physical hazards when our kids are first born because they're so precious. But then our second or third come along. You know, my second daughter, she's like 8 months. And my wife yells out, "Hey, honey, Elisa's eating your shoes." Like, it's probably good for her. Build up the immunities, you know. I was like, crazy. You know, like the first, oh my goodness, it's so precious, it's so new. And then after all, I was like, whatever, you know. But I wonder if we can do that with our homes and more in a spiritual sense, where at first we're so excited about our faith and about everybody experiencing the power and goodness of God. But then it kind of becomes normal, it gets comfortable, and it's like, you know, kind of take it or leave it, you know, kind of whatever. But the Lord says, don't do that. Don't cut any corners when it comes to passing our faith on, especially to the next generation. Therefore, go and make disciples, teach them the ways of God, and they will never depart from it. They will never depart from that path, the Bible says. When we do that, God says this, and He promises with all of His heart who He is, and He can't lie. He said, "I will be with you forever till the end of the age." You know, one of my favorite authors, he wrote a chapter that changed my life forever and the way that I saw this. He wrote really about how important it is to set an example. In fact, there's many different ways to teach and disciple, but would you write in the next bullet here, the best way is to example. Would you write that in there? Example. His name was Charles Trimble, and he wrote just such a powerful chapter in his book called Victory in Christ. It's a real little read. It's real fun read. But the first chapter was this, and the title of, or the question that he poses is this: is your Christianity worth sending? And he put it into a word picture like this. If you were going to send, say, a package to a third world country that would save a village, would you package your faith, your Christianity, and would you, like right now today, or yesterday, or a year from now, would you package your faith right now and send it away to a third world country? I think the question would be, if you could take your Christianity, not the Christianity, but yours, your faith, would you package it right now and would you give it to your kids? Would you give it to your family? Is it something that's sendable? See, the Bible says there's power when we are people that say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And in fact, Paul says that, Lord, yes, I will go. I will follow you. And as I follow you, hey, guys, follow me. In fact, let's read that in the next scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Let's see what it says. Ready? Get set. Go. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul said it. As I follow Christ, follow me. See, I think what the Lord is saying is this. Power will come when there's people, and he's looking for these people, that are willing to say, Lord, I'll go. I'll be an example. I'm going to make mistakes, but to the best of my abilities, I'm going to go. And Lord, when I make mistakes, you'll be there to help correct those things according to your word and your ways. But Lord, I want to be in that power. I want to walk in that authority. I want you to affect my family and my life in a great way. See, when we have that heart, the Bible says that then we become people that are willing to go, and people that are willing to disciple. And God is looking for any example, whether young, middle-aged, those who are elderly, whatever. He's just looking for those kind of examples. Now, I was doing devotions with Fred Alkane. He's our drummer. Isn't he awesome? That guy's cool. And his wife, Jonna, who is up singing, she leads worship so wonderfully. Wasn't worship amazing today? Wasn't that cool? Yeah. We got the best guys up here. Well, I was doing devotions with Fred the other day and taught me such a powerful lesson through his little daughter. She's around 4 years old. And it's such a powerful lesson on being an example like Jesus. Because sometimes it's hard for us as adults or parents. And he was sharing his devotions, and the word of the day was how the children or those childlike enter into the kingdom. And if we have a heart just like that, then we'll experience God's goodness and his greatness. And so he's telling the story where they were at a Starbucks, and little Jillian had to go potty really, really bad. So they're waiting in line to get into the bathroom. And Jillian is saying, Daddy, I got to go really bad. I got to go really bad. He said, don't worry. We're next. We're next. And so, okay. And just then the door swung open and the lady went out. And so they're just about to go in. And this Asian lady, she runs right past them, pushes them out of the way and jumps right into the bathroom, cut in line. Like, no way. And I was like, man, what did you do? I was like, man, I was so mad. I was so mad. You know, I was just going to like tell her a piece of my mind. And then my daughter looks up at me and she says, Daddy, how come she did that? I got to go really bad. I got to go really bad. And she couldn't hold it. And she made potty in her pants. She wet herself. I was like, oh, no. And as a daddy, I was like, man, I feel you, brother. I feel you. That lady, man. Oh, man, we'll get her, you know. So then, as they're there and he had to go get an extra change of clothes and he's changing her right there. And he's thinking, man, I'm going to just tell this lady off. And so she comes out and she kind of goes. And so little Jillian's asking Fred these questions like, Daddy, how come she did that? And he said, well, because she's just a bad lady. She's mean, you know, she's really rude. And as she's conversing back and forth with her daddy, she said something so powerful. She said, well, well, maybe Daddy, she had to go first because maybe she didn't want to go potty in her pants like I did. And then she says this, maybe she had to go first because she didn't have an extra change of clothes like me, but I had one. That, wow. And me and Fred were just about to cry, you know. Man. It's like whether we're young, whether we're whoever, you know, are we willing to say, Lord, here I am, I'll go. I'll be an example. It don't matter. See, the Lord is looking for examples to go, therefore, make disciples, starting with our families first. And when we do so, the Bible says that, lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Let's write in the next bullet there, the last of his words. He lastly gives us this, the promise of his presence. Would you write that in there? Matthew 28, 20. Let's read that again together. Ready? Go. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that a precious promise? See, God doesn't promise us immunity from problems. He doesn't promise us that people won't cut in front of us. But what he does promise is he'll never let go of our hand. God doesn't promise a life without hurt, wrestle, being ashamed, embarrassed. But he will promise this, that he will never waste a hurt and he will always use hurts for our good and we'll get better. He doesn't promise that we won't go through temptation, but he does promise this, that he will never allow us to go through a temptation that you and I can't handle. And he also promises that he'll always give us an escape from that temptation. God won't promise that we're not going to get weary or tired or burdened, because we will. But the Bible does promise that rest, we will find rest, all who come to him, who are weary and heavy laden. See, sometimes we think, Lord, man, your ways aren't our ways. But it is. And he's always got your best in mind. God's ways will always be something of his presence, of power. And when we understand his last words that he left for us, we will be able to step into an authority and a power that's not ours. It's from his. And it promises that the answer will always be yes. In fact, let's read in the next scripture there, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's see what that says. Ready, get set, go. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. See, when we take God's promises, his word, we say, Lord, you're speaking in my life? Yes, I'll go. Lord, as I follow you, because they're yes in Christ, I follow you, your example, not a weird version of it or my understanding of it, but Lord, as best as I see you walk, I'm going to follow that. And as I do that, hey, family first and everyone else, come follow me. The Bible says that when we walk in the promises of God, his answer is always yes. And when we experience the power and might of God, something that is life-changing for eternity, our answer then is amen and amen. God, may you have the glory because you are all-powerful. Amen. We don't want to cut corners in our life. Don't ever do it, whether it's in your marriage, with your kids, with your future. God's promises are sure, and don't ever cut corners. When we do so, we say, Lord, I follow you. You watch. You wait. You see. God will blow your mind, and it'll be the best ride that you ever jumped on, and it'll be of his power. He'll never leave you. He'll always be there. In fact, let's read in the last scripture there, at the very bottom of our notes, and then I'm going to give us an assignment to leave with that I think will be very, very important so that we can take action. But let's read in the last bullet there, Isaiah 49, 15, and 16, all together. Ready, set, go. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. That's what God, the creator of the universe, says about you and me. I won't forget you. I got you engraved on the palm of my hands. I take you wherever I go. You're always on my mind. I'm always thinking about you. You're on my heart. You're with me, and I will always be with you. Well, here it is. We're going to just look at quickly what are some action points that we can do so we won't just people that get excited about it, but we can actually do something about it and experience God's power. What are three things that God has been speaking to you about that you just haven't quite gotten around to? Would you write down three things and say, Lord, I will go. I will be one who has a disposition of bias for action. I will take action. So right now, take a couple minutes, and would you write those things down? Here's three things that I need to do, okay? So go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, write them down. It's the best for you, I promise. Second thing, therefore, go and make disciples, starting with your family. If your family is good, think of three people that God is asking you to disciple or love into the kingdom of God. If you can't think of any, let me challenge you in this. Right outside, there's signups to be a part of our Camp Agape to work with the kids who have been whose parents are incarcerated. Love on them. Go spend time with them. They need a hug from you. Okay? So that would be the next three people that God is saying spend some time with. And lastly, that scripture that we just read, let it be something we memorize this next week, because it is a promise that God will always be with us till the end of the age. In fact, let's read it again. Ready? Go. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. How many of you glad that God will not forget you or me? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, hey, it's been fun. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Some of you in here, you'd say, you know, I've lived my life, and to the best of my abilities, I've tried to be a good person, but I don't know if I've ever truly received these last words. As God said before he ascended, hey, anyone who wants to follow me, therefore, go. Are you willing to take action? Maybe for you today, the action point would simply be to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, it's the most eternal decision that you can ever make. And then what happens is his power, his authority, floods into your life. And you see, then you don't operate on your own energies, your own love, or your own kindness, because again, ours runs out, but you start to tap into that which is eternal. And those are the gifts that you start to give away to your kids, your wives, your husbands, your family members, those around you that God has placed around you. You say, Lord, I need that, Lord. I can't do this on my own. Mine runs out. But if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it today. It's the most eternal decision you can ever make. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. If that's you this morning and you say, Lord, that's me. You're speaking to me this morning. Lord, I need your power in my life. I need to walk with you. Would you walk with me? If that's you, would you just lift a hand this morning and say, Lord, that's me. I want to do that. Today is the day that I invite you into my life and change me, renew me, make me new. I walk with you. Yeah. Amen. So many, you can put your hands down. Hey, we're going to say a prayer this morning to kind of seal it all up. And if you've never prayed this prayer before, pray it with all your hearts. I'm going to add the words. Would you add the heart, but repeat after me as we conclude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died on the cross for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. And you've given me an assignment. Lord, give me your strength to succeed. I believe it with all my heart that it's not just a passing word, but it's forever. It's a promise that you'll always be with me. So I want to say this so that you can hear me, so that those around me can hear me, and so the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We thank you for loving us so much, being with us, and always walking with us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, it's been fabulous. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Let's all stand. And as we're standing, can we once again say thank you to Pastor Aaron for sharing the word. Thank you, New Hope Hawaii Kai, for releasing him to be here with us today. And last night, too. Hurabaga. Five services, just like his father. Yeah. If you've received Christ, or if you're beginning your walk, you've never picked up a yes packet, please do so. Right outside, there's going to be some servants holding up a yes packet. There's a Bible in there, a booklet from Pastor Wayne. So we'd love for you to have that. And let's all continue in our next steps. How many of you have something that God wants you to apply today that you heard from the Word? Amen. Father, thank you. That's what we desire to do is apply, to be appliers, to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue, Lord, to fill us, inspire us. We need you. We trust you. Help us to continue taking our next steps in you, for you, in Jesus' name. We all say, amen.